Interestingly enough, I want to this morning speak about being a witness in the workplace, and one of my key verses is Matthew 5 that speaks about the fact that we are the light of the world. It's powerful to see the tongue that came and the interpretation of that. But this morning I want to continue with what we've been sharing over the past couple of weeks and months about the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom of God. And we were speaking about how we overcome and how this kingdom advances and how it will end, and that those that God is raising up to advance the kingdom are those who overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and that they did not love their lives unto death. In other words, that he was the number one in their life, that absolute loyalty and commitment is to God. And with those three things, what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ, our testimony, our faith in that, and our testimony about that, and the fact that we put him number one in life, will make us overcome whatever darkness may bring. And then we also shared about eternal life 2 weeks ago. The fact that God has given us eternal life, not just for the future, but here and now. And eternal life is knowing God and the fullness of God within us right now, and we can have that life of fullness and abundance. And this morning, I want to continue with how to be a witness in our workplaces, how to transition, because we speak so much about the kingdom of God and how to advance the kingdom of God. Many of us struggle how to transition from what we hear on a Sunday to the Monday. How do we apply that what we hear and believe and put our faith in our everyday lives? So this morning, I want to talk about this transition from Sunday to Monday, because I know many people struggle with this. How do I live out my Christian faith in my workplace? I mean, how can I fulfill the Great Commission in my 9-to-5 job? How do I create a platform to advance the kingdom of God through my career? So I want to start off by this. Others are actually struggling with the Christian life in the world. How do you bring the two? Some Christians separate their Christian life with their working life. Some have this dualistic view on life. How we live among Christians on Sunday are different to how we live along our colleagues from Monday to Friday. It's this dualistic view. How we act on church or at church are different to how we act in our workplace. Our relationship with God is different on Sunday than it is to Monday. On Sundays, we worship Jesus publicly and openly. But Monday to Friday, we hide the fact that we know him. So how do we translate what we receive, believe, and live on a Sunday? How do we translate that to the Monday to Friday? How do we do that? How do we transition from the two? For some, we come out of hiding on a Sunday just to blend in again on the Monday. And this is a real challenge, because if we follow what the Word of God is saying about overcoming, it kind of is the contrary to what the Word of God is encouraging us to be. So one question is, should we leave Jesus waiting outside the walls of our careers? And for others still, the question is, how do I become a witness for Christ in the midst of my secular career? So I want to start off by answering these two questions. And I want to start off by one of my favorite verses, and we've mentioned it so many times now through the songs and the words that come, and that is found in John chapter 1 from verse 1, that speaks so powerfully about this concept of salvation and the kingdom of light and our role to it. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I love that. "And in the beginning, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." And this is so powerful. "Light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome the light." I love that. I love that about the Word of God, that the Word of God was with God. In the beginning, he was God, and everything that was created through him, and in him was life. And we spoke about the eternal life in Christ. And then it continues to say that life is like light that shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome the light. Now that word of God is Christ. And in verse 14, we see that the word of God became flesh. And the word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is just so powerful. That's why I love the word of God. I love the life that's in it. I love Christ that has become flesh and it is eternal. And within it, we have everything that we need for life and godliness. But this word is also the life of God, which is the light of men. This is the light of men. The metaphor is so powerful. And this light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. The word of God, Christ, is not just the life of men. It is the light of men that shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. Now, therefore, Jesus, the incarnated word, boldly declares in John 8, verse 12, he said, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Now you must see this picture, light shining into the darkness. Remember, darkness covered the earth. God said, let there be light. Now sin, darkness, evil covers the world, and then God sent the word into the world. Jesus came into the world as light into the darkness. And darkness, as much as he tried to destroy him, could not do it. Instead, the light overcame the darkness. And yet Jesus boldly declares, I am the light of the world. I am the one that shines into the darkness. And he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus is boldly declaring that those who follow him will have this life, this light within him. How powerful is that? Now, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 6 says, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? So that light has shone into our hearts. And we have received that. We have embraced that through faith. And now that light is within us. That life, that light. We have this light within us through the knowledge of the glory of God, which is Christ in us. Right. That's my introduction. Now I want to ask you a very powerful question. Simple yet profound. What is the purpose of light? What is the purpose of light? The purpose of light. We who live in South Africa, we have a thing called load shedding. What happens when load shedding occurs? It gets dark. What is the purpose of light? Now, the amazing thing is, when it is dark and you put on a light, what happens to the darkness? It goes away. Wow. Thanks for John and his lighting. I like that impromptu things. The purpose of light is just that. It is to drive away the darkness. Now, we experience that every time we have load shedding, and I love it every time to put on a light, a candle, whenever the darkness, you're busy with something, and all of a sudden, it's just dark. We had load shedding last night, only in our house, because we ran out of electricity. So I had to go for the light, and then I had to check outside, is this load shedding or not? But then all my neighbor's lights were on, so clearly it wasn't. But darkness invaded the house. So I had to do something to chase away the darkness. I had to get light. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I shine in the darkness and darkness flees wherever I am. That is the purpose of light. Matthew 5 verse 14, Jesus declares something powerful. As we read that the light came into the darkness, into the world, but it also came into us. And that those who follow the light will not be in darkness, but will have the light within them.
Therefore, Jesus boldly declares, you are the light of the world. Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But I'm going back to my Father. But you are the light of the world, because I am within you. So you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What is the purpose of light? It is to chase away the darkness. Some people have a dualistic view on life. How do I live Christ in my spiritual life as opposed to my natural life? How do I live with this life on a Sunday versus living it on Monday to Friday? How do I live this light? Well, Jesus said a city on a hill cannot be hidden. So if you have this light within you, God clearly says it cannot be hidden. He says, as a matter of fact, nobody lights up a light and then puts it under a bucket. As a matter of fact, what you do with the light is you put it on a lampstand so that it can shine. What does it do when it shines? So that it can chase away the darkness. Very interesting. So, can we have a dualistic view on life? Can there be places where Christ is visible in us in certain places, time, and circumstances, and then hidden in others? No. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light up a lamp and put it on a basket. You know, that is what it's all about. Not only can it not be hidden, we should not even try to hide it, Jesus says. He not just says you cannot hide a city on a hill. He says you should not even try to hide it. You shouldn't even try to put it under a basket, because that's not its purpose. As a matter of fact, on the contrary, it should be placed on a lampstand. Not only that all can see it, but that it can give light to all who is in the house. Do you see that? Some people think you put it on a lampstand so that all can see you have light. No, the purpose is not so much that people can see that you have the light. The purpose is that the light can give light to all who is in the house. In other words, you must be on a lampstand so that the light within you can drive away the darkness. That is the purpose of light. So what is this light that God is speaking about? Well, we read it earlier. It is the knowledge of the glory of God, Christ in us. So, we are all called to be bold, to be on a lampstand, to declare that we have Christ. We are not meant to be shy, not meant to be hidden away, not even try to do that. We are called to be bold about who we are in Christ, not to hide the fact or to be ashamed to be associated with Christ. We are meant to be clearly seen, not to be hidden. Secondly, we need to shine that light into the darkness that all around us can share in the light of the knowledge of God, who is Christ in us. Come to the knowledge of the glory of God, who is Christ in us. And what happens when you hide the light? If it's load shedding, the power goes off, I lit up my light and I hid it under a basket, what happens? Darkness returns. You see, if there's light which is hidden, darkness returns. When there's light that is exposed, light prevails. But one of the two is going to prevail depending on what you do with the light. If you hide the light, darkness will prevail. Guess what's happening in Europe? What has happened to the Christian light? It got hidden. It got privatized. In the sense that my faith is a private issue. Nobody with the light in themselves, when it used to be the light of the world and missionary and the gospel was spreading throughout Europe, it became politically incorrect to share your faith. Unpopular. And now persecuted. So the light got hidden. And what happens in Europe? Darkness increases. Morality fails. Because the light was hidden. So, practically, to answer the question, can we have certain places in our life where Christ is clearly seen and other places hidden? The answer is no. For the very reason that we have the light is so that it can give light, not just for us, but for everybody that's in the house. So that we can bring light to where there is darkness. That's the purpose of light. You do not lit a lamp in the daytime. You lit it at night. For the reason to chase away the light. But another very practical reason, if you hide your light, guess what happens to it? It dies. Don't hide your light, because the longer you do, eventually it will die. But now, how do we do this practically? The second question. How, now that we've answered the question whether we should be visible at times and invisible at other times, clearly seen by all around us and other times hidden, well, the Bible makes it very clear. We should not be hidden at all. We should be clearly seen. Now, the next question is, how do we practically shine our light? Should we, and specifically this morning, I want to speak about how to shine your light in the workplace. How do you do that? First of all, okay, we understand we should not be hidden, right? But we should be on a lampstand. In other words, everybody should know we have Christ in us. That does not necessarily mean you must have a t-shirt saying, I am a Christian. Although that's not always a bad idea to start off with. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. How do I practically shine my light in the workplace? How do I advance the kingdom of God? How do I fulfill the Great Commission? How do I become a witness in my workplace? Should we preach to everybody that enters the office? Well, unless you are paid to preach, like I am, you shouldn't. Listen carefully to me. If you are paid to preach, then preach to everybody that enters the office. If, however, most of us are employed by an employer and he's paying for your time and ability to advance the purposes of the company or the enterprise, if you are paid for your time and ability to advance the interests and the purpose of the company, then that is what you're primarily supposed to do. If, however, you are paid in that company to preach, you may do that with absolute boldness all the time, like I do today. When you come to this enterprise, I preach to you because I get paid to do that, okay? But unless you are specifically paid to preach, you cannot preach whenever anybody enters your office. So what are you meant to do? Of course, you are paid to advance the core function of the business or enterprise. So how do you shine your light? Well, it's very interesting. Matthew says that. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Let them see your good works. Let them see your good works. You know, in the workplace, one of the most powerful ways to shine is through your lifestyle and through your work ethic. The way you live your life and the way you work, people will see your good works. Now that is one of the most powerful things. When the fruit of the Spirit manifests in us. Now what is the fruit of the Spirit? That is the God within us that manifests through us. The light that is in us, that manifests through us, which we find in Galatians 5 verse 22, when that fruit manifests within us, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, and the self-control. When those things manifest within us, the good works manifest within us, it is clearly seen against the darkness. Now, in this world, it is so powerful to see the work ethic and the way people think. And I'm not talking about productivity per se, but the way you do your productive life. That is clearly visible against the darkness. How do you go about your 9-to-5 job is so intrinsically powerful in shining the knowledge of the glory of God. How you go about it? Let's just take a simple example of a positive attitude. If somebody is always cheerful, full of the joy of the Lord within them, always cheerful at work, never bad mouths others or the boss, people will start to notice that. Because most people coming to work today are grumpy. They complain about the weather, they complain about the office hours, they complain about the culture within the office, they complain about the work, they complain about everything. But if you have somebody that comes to work that's always joyful, cheerful and happy, full of the joy of the Lord, excited to be there, not bad-mouthing the colleagues or the boss for that matter, but always cheerful in all they do, you know what? That clearly stands out. Ironically today, people that are excited and full of joy stands out against the darkness. Deliberately highlighting the positive as opposed to seeking the negative. I'm sure you found people like that before in your workplace. They always have the ability to see everything that's wrong in life. Everything that's wrong in the company. Everything that's wrong with the boss and the secretary and this guy and that guy. And they are so well tuned to everything that goes wrong. They even see negativity that there is an ease. It's not there, but they see it. They have the ability to always be negative about everything. Imagine you have in a culture where there's somebody else that deliberately seeks out all the positives and highlights that. Somebody coming in and says, you know what, it is so amazing to work in an office that is always clean. Or, you know, isn't it amazing that we have so many people working here today? Isn't it amazing that we have coffee available for free? Isn't it amazing that we have a lunchtime? Isn't it amazing, I see in Hermanus, most people only work till 4. Or 4:30. I'm not going to highlight the company, but it's great to see. It's a small town. So do we at church at times. So some people have the ability to always be positive. And you know what? If you deliberately go into the workplace with the joy of the Lord and look for things to be positive about and then exaggerate or proclaim the positive in your environment, you are going to clearly stand out in the light of the darkness, or in contrary to the darkness. You're going to be as light to darkness. It's a very simple thing, bringing light into the darkness. And you know what? The added benefit of being positive, the boss will also notice that, which could be to your benefit. How about love and kindness? Another two, fruit of the Holy Spirit. How about the fact that in all areas of life, the most powerful witness in our workplace is just this, love. I mean, how powerful would it be that if you can go to your workplace with an attitude of love, going there as a conduit, as you are busy, productive, focused on what you're meant to do, but also fully aware that I'm here to love everybody around me. As I'm going about what I'm doing, you know, most careers, you interact with people. Most of us interact with people on a daily basis. And would that not be powerful that if we go not just to complete the task given to us, but to complete it with an understanding and a search for opportunities to love people as I'm doing this? As I work with my colleagues, how can I bless people? Looking for opportunities simply just to bless people. If somebody is sick, why didn't you go and take them flowers? Or if you see somebody is overloaded with all the responsibility, why don't you just go and offer them help? Or if they're in a crisis, offer them to take them home. Give them a lift. or babysit. Why not look for opportunities to bless people? As a matter of fact, if you do that, you will shine in the midst of darkness. If you look for opportunities to bless people, if you look for opportunities how to love people, if you look for opportunities just to be Christ in the midst of this broken world. Ask people how they're doing and then listen. Not just, how are you? Fine, fine. Good, good. Great, great. And if it's Christians, blessed, blessed. You know what I normally do? If somebody asks me, how are you doing? I ask them on a scale from 1 to 10. It's interesting how good as a variation from 1 to 10. But ask people how they're doing, but really mean it. Really show an interest. Really have an interest in how people are dealing with life and the crises they're going through. Really mean it and really try to do something about it. If you genuinely care, you will help where you can. So if somebody's sharing their life and their struggle and what they're busy through, see if there's not some practical way in which you can help them. That is called love. Imagine all the colleagues at work will do that with one another. Wouldn't that be an amazing place to work at? Sometimes we are praying for God to send revival, and we spend a lot of time on who you are in Christ, but what if you are revival? We are asking God to send light into the darkness, but what if you are the light that was sent into that darkness? What if you were sent into that company for that very purpose, to be an ambassador of Christ representing the kingdom of God into the darkness, to shine the light so that everybody can be part of that? What if you are the person? Well, it's not what if. I have to reveal to you, if I had a little ta-da, it would be you. You are the revival in your company. You are the light. You are the representation of the kingdom of God in the midst of darkness. So why don't you just live that? Try to be someone who is caring and whom your co-workers can come to when they need encouragement and help. And always offer hope. People so easily share about the hopelessness that they find themselves in. Hopelessness is a lie. Whenever you're in a situation where you believe there is no hope, it is a lie. Because the truth is, in Christ, there is life. There is hope. There is eternal life. In Christ, nothing is impossible. So when you're in a situation where you ask somebody about how they're doing and they share with you hopelessness, why don't you share hope? And you know what? The amazing thing is, as you share hope, you can simply say, you know what? I've experienced in my life, there is always hope. And they will ask you, how do you get to that? Then it's simple. Well, then you share your testimony. Well, ever since I found Jesus, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. It doesn't matter what the circumstances is. If God is for me, who can be against me? God knows who I am. He loves me. He cares for me. And I have seen and I have experienced how God comes through for me every single time. You're responding to a question. And you're sharing hope. Share the reality of Christ in you. How about another thing that shines so brightly in the midst of the darkness, that is so valuable, so scarce today, that if you find it, people marvel at its existence? It's called integrity. Simply, integrity. Doing as you said. Doing what is right instead of what is wrong. It is so powerful, it shines so brightly in this world, but if you can just simply be a man and a woman of your word, what you say is what you do, and you're a person that do not compromise between right and wrong. You know what is right, you know what is wrong, and you refuse to compromise because of integrity. It is so powerful, it's so scarce to find. People that do not lie, people that do not bend the truth, tell white lies, do anything to cover up so that they can benefit from a situation. Why not stand on the truth at the cost of yourself? That's called integrity. A man of your word. Wow, that really shines in this world. And you know what? Your word is not just your honor. As a Christian, Your word is God's honor. Your integrity is not just yours, because you are a representator. You are an ambassador. Representator, does a word like that exist? You represent God. You are His ambassador. You represent the kingdom of God on earth. Your word is not just your honor, it's God's honor. Share the grace you receive. Pass along mercy, the same that you have been given. Forgive. You know, how powerful is that in the midst of a dark world if you can forgive somebody? So many people work with grudges and politics and issues in companies. The bigger the company, the more politics there are. Okay, the more people there are, the more issues there are between people. This person has done this and that person has done this, and they've done that 5 years ago, and then 2 years ago they did this, and because of that, I cannot stand them. Why don't you just forgive them? Why don't you just extend grace and mercy and forgiveness in the same way that we have received, and you know what? You're going to shine like light in the midst of the darkness. If people can see, but you have the capacity to forgive people when they backstab you, when they falsely accuse you, when they say bad things about you, and you have the ability to forgive them, wow, people will see that. They will take note of that. Every person needs to be treated with forgiveness instead of judgment and condemnation. As a matter of fact, Christ came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Shouldn't we relate to others in the same way? How about faithfulness? Faithfulness is another fruit of the Spirit. Be on time. Just be on time. As a matter of fact, who of you can spare an extra 10 minutes of your life? Anybody can spare 10 minutes? Why don't you divide that into two groups of 5 minutes? 5 minutes before work, 5 minutes after work. Why don't you try to be 5 minutes early every day and leave 5 minutes late? You will shine like light in the midst of this darkness. So many people struggle just to be there on time. Well, you know, faithfulness in what you have agreed to do. Remember, as an employee, you have agreed to do something for a certain amount. You are a bond servant. You know what a bond servant is? There's a difference between a slave and a bond servant. Slaves were bought, they were obligated, they had no choice. But then came a point where they could either buy themselves out or they were set free. And then they decided, you know what, I love my master so much, I'm going to commit myself to him without obligation. That's called a bond servant. All of us are bond servants in careers. Unless you work for yourself, you're a bond servant. You have agreed to give your time and ability for an X amount. Now what if you can give your time and ability above what is agreed on? Without complaining. Yes, people will abuse that. People can. People will misuse that. Yes, it can. But what if you can do that without grudging, without complaining, with an absolute commitment to the company? Do you think you will shine? I think so. Is that what Christ called us to do? Absolutely. Why not walk the extra mile? Jesus said, if somebody forces you to walk 1 mile, do two. Why, instead of complaining because you were forced to do 1 mile, and everybody around you would be complaining, why do you say, oh man, that's not a problem, I work another extra hour? Well, that's different. I've never seen that before. Well, that's what we are called to do. That's the example set before us. And you know what is so powerful? Everything that you do at work, why not do it as unto God? It will change the way you relate to your employer. It will change the way you relate to the company. If you start to live and do everything as unto God, just think about this. What if you are an accountant or a nurse or a strip cleaner? And whatever you do it as unto God. Not for the company, not for the municipality, not for whosoever, but I'm actually doing this as unto God. Well, Ephesians says the following. Bondservants, we spoke about that. Be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Why don't you serve in your career as if you're serving Christ? Not with eye service as men pleases, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Isn't that powerful? Well, living your life, working in your careers in such a way, people will clearly see the difference. And then, it doesn't end there. It speaks to the masters. It speaks to us who have people that we employ. He says, and you, masters, do the same things to them. Why? Because we're all equal before God. Not giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also in heaven is also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. In other words, whether we are working for somebody or others are working for us, our attitude should be exactly the same. I'm working for this company as if I'm working for Christ, and I have employers under me as if they are serving Christ, and I am helping them to do the very same. So each and other we give to one another. So when the job gets tedious, the co-workers are griping, the boss just don't want to get off your back, remember this. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink and whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God, who gives no offense. Give no offense either to the Jew or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, how does the two come together? How do I walk the extra mile, serve as if I'm serving God, in being an accountant, taking up the abuse that there is, and taking advantage of my attitude of serving over and above what is respected with me, with a good attitude, being joyful, being looking for opportunities to bless people always with great joy and full of the love of God? How is that going to help people to be saved? Very simple. It won't take long before people will ask you, why are you so different? Why are you so different? Why do you do this? How is it possible for you to remain positive and always full of joy and blessing people in the midst of all this? And the moment they ask you how, it doesn't matter in which country you live, it doesn't matter what the legislation is, the moment they ask you, it's like paying you to preach. You just let them know. You just share with them the knowledge of the glory of God, Christ in you, the ability. Now that I've found Christ and I'm following Him, I'm filled with life, eternal life that overflows, and I'm following His example. And the reason I live and do the way I do is because I'm following Jesus. And you know what's amazing? By doing what I'm doing, I reap the blessings that there is in this relationship with God. I have met Jesus and my life's changed. And I'm following Him. And so you continue to share your testimony of what is done. You know what? That is how being faithful in what you do at work will lead others to Jesus. Because they will see in you something that they've never seen before. They will see light clearly as opposed to the darkness all around them, because you will shine. And you will not be afraid to acknowledge Christ. Once they know that you are a Christian, make no mistake, they will constantly be watching you. And it's not only what you do, but especially the things that you do not do that people will notice. Listen to me carefully. It's not just the things that you do, but the things that you avoid that people will notice as a Christian. Once they know you're a Christian. I remember when I was in the military for 3 years as an platoon sergeant training the NCOs and the lieutenants. I was the guy shouting and screaming at everybody until they crack and enjoyed that. That's what we did. But I never swore. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. I didn't sleep around. I was completely different. I stood out. Because I didn't do the way everybody else did it. And I wasn't afraid to tell them why. It didn't take them long to ask me. So why don't you drink? What's wrong with you? Well, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. I don't need drink. I'm happy. I don't need to escape anything. I can't wait to be with him. And all of a sudden, initially, all the persecution from being different, from being this, from being that, guess who they run to when they're in trouble? When their life falls apart. You know what is so amazing? Not only did I start to win their respect. You know why I did win their respect? Because I did not compromise. Because what I said I believed in, I did. My word was my honor. And I didn't compromise on the things that I didn't do because I'm a Christian. And all of a sudden, I gain respect. And then I gain loyalty. And you know what is the best thing of all? Even, 10 years after I left the military, I was in a place called Olifantshoek. Just passing through. There stops a Translux bus. There jumps a man out of the bus running towards me. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? It was my old colleague, Corporal Yehu. He got saved. He was just so excited to tell me. He saw the light. He saw the light. It is so great when people come to you. You can't even sometimes remember them. They're just so excited to share with you. Because they have the same now. So that's the powerful thing of living your life in such a way that all men may see your good works, that they will glorify God. Because if people in this world that have heard enough sermons, they've been exposed to so much hypocrisy in religion. And they've seen so much compromise. When they see the real thing, when they see somebody of integrity, somebody that sticks to their word, somebody that goes out of their way to help them for no benefit to them at all, but just to bless them. What else can they do but glorify God? Say, this is amazing. And whenever somebody acknowledges Christ in you, you acknowledge Christ before them. When anybody sees that word of Christ is manifesting through you, the moment they ask you, the moment they praise you, the moment they acknowledge you, acknowledge the source that's within you. Then you just say, you know what? It's because I know Jesus. And the reason I love you is because He loves you. He loves you the same way He loves me. And that is how we create that platform. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Sooner or later, people will start to ask you, why are you so different? And that is when you share. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. People will ask you. Always be prepared. Always be prepared to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. And that is when you share your testimony. Whenever somebody acknowledges Christ in you, you acknowledge Christ before them. You share the knowledge of the glory of God, Christ in you. And when people share their hopelessness, that is when you share your testimony and the knowledge of the glory of God, Christ in you. Invite them to events or to church where there's other Christians like you. When they're so amazed about who you are in the midst of this darkness, in the midst of the workplace, why don't you invite them to church or to small group or to any other social event where there's other Christians like you that you can introduce them? You know, it is so great. We have unsaved friends. And you know what is so amazing is they love all our friends. They're atheists. But they always mention, you know, your friends are so nice. Yes, they are. They're also Christians. And it's this struggle within themselves. They don't want to believe what we believe, but they like the people that believe what we believe. Because they're fed up with all this drinking and swearing and everything that goes around. They don't really want to be associated with that anymore. They really love this, but they're now in between. So I want to encourage you. Invite them to church and to other events. Invite them to light. The more we live like Christ, the more light we bring into the darkness. The more light that comes together, the brighter the light. And that's the power when Christians start to come out of hiding. You know, I told my little girl not a long time ago what it would be like if everybody would have Jesus in their hearts. Why do we have to share Jesus with everybody? Because if everybody is following Jesus, there won't be crime anymore. There won't be so much heartache and brokenness in this world if everybody would just follow Jesus. Imagine a world where everybody follows Jesus. Where everybody is like Christ in their life. Imagine a world where more and more Christians, more and more lights come up in your career, in your employment. Imagine that. Imagine more people getting exposed to the light, embrace the light, and follow Jesus like you do. I'll tell you one thing. If everybody works the way Christ encourages to, as unto him, walking the extra mile, the company will prosper anyway. And you will be noticed. But imagine more and more people start to live that way. Every time somebody comes in from the outside that is not exposed to the light, they will be amazed. And if you're an employer here, hey, employ Christians. But I'm not talking about any Christians, Christians that follow Jesus. And if you're a Christian, live the way Jesus called you to and make sure that you do as he commands. And everybody will benefit. Because the more lights come together, the brighter the light will be. And what will happen to the darkness? It will flee. If there's issues in your company, if there's issues in your workplace, the more Christians that come together, the darkness will flee. So I want to encourage you. We have this prayer walk coming up at the end of the month. You know what's so powerful about this prayer walk? It's because little lights from all over this town is coming together. Huh? That's a bright light. And then we're walking through the town together. Guess what happens to the darkness? Before we've even prayed. Before you've even prayed. Just having Christians from all different denominations coming together at the same time, at the same place, for the same purpose. And then they pray together. Guess what happens to darkness? I want to encourage you, everybody that has time that day, join us as we bring lights together. If you're in a company, why not start a prayer group? Not during work hours, but before or during lunch or after. Why not start a prayer group? Why not get the Christians to pull all the lights together and darkness will flee even more? Because where light concentrates, darkness disappears. So I want to encourage you. Remember that you are the carrier of light. You are the lamp. If you hide, what happens to the darkness? It increases. If you come out, darkness will have to flee. If you compromise and blend in, become just like the rest, you are the salt that lost its flavor. That's what Jesus said in the same parable. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, when you become just like the rest, when you blend into the world, how shall it be seasoned? Then it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and be trampled underfoot by men. But you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. nor do they lit up a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And then in conclusions, Ephesians 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, but that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have run not in vain, nor labored in vain. And isn't that powerful? So, go and shine your light in such a way, in this crooked and perverse world, that people may see your good works, Christ in you, through you, the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in what you do and how you do it, that people may glorify God, and then they're going to ask you. And when they do, be ready to give them the reason for the hope that you have. Invite them to the source of life and see how this kingdom advances in the midst of this darkness. Amen. Right, so, can we all do that? Deliberately focusing on being a blessing in your workplace. All right? Be Christ, be light, share your testimony, invite them to the source. Now, I'm going to pray. I don't want you to leave now. We're going to have communion. And we're going to seal this as light. We're going to lit all the little lamps, okay? And then I'm going to commission you out into the world, not to be hidden, but to be seen. Amen? Okay, let's close our eyes. Father, we want to thank you that you have given us life. And that life is like light that shone into the darkness, that shines into our hearts. And the darkness that was within us fled because of your love, because of your truth, because of who you are. God, we have life in you, eternal life, promises not just for the future, but for here and now. Lord, you've given us so much in our identity and our reality, in our relationship with you, in the knowing that you love us, that you care for us. God, I pray that we will not be afraid to share that light with those around us. God, I want to pray for each and everybody here, Lord, that are currently working. Lord, I pray that lights will go on, that they will no longer be ashamed or to be afraid to be associated with you, but that they will be on this lampstand. God, I pray that as we go to our workplaces, that we will ask you, Holy Spirit, that Christ may shine through us, that we'll ask you for your fruit to manifest in everything that we do, and that we will deliberately see ourselves as ambassadors. The reason some of you are in the companies that you are, even though it's so dark and so difficult, the reason you are there, I just sense God is saying, the reason you are there is because you are my ambassador. I have sent you there to be light. That is why you're still there. It's not, God, how will you deliver me from this place? It's, God, I thank you for sending me into this place. Give me the grace that I need to be the light that you desire in this place. And there's some of you here, you are not employed. I don't know who you are, but God, I pray for each and every person. If that's you, just raise your hand. Father, I just pray for these who are here today and looking for employment. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you will open doors for them. God, I pray that you will send them into the darkness. Lord, where there is no light, God, I pray that you will send them. And where there's lights that are flickering, God, I pray that you will send them there, that they may increase the light that is there. God, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we will be expectant to be light, that we will be passionate about the light. Lord, I pray that you will show us all the opportunities to love, to forgive, to embrace the hurt around us. Help us, Lord, to work faithfully, diligently, Lord, in such a way that people may see you in us. And when they ask us, God, let us be bold. Lord, I pray for those that are here that employ people, that we will love our employers in such a way that they will see Christ in us. And when they thank us, we will give you the glory for what you have done. I thank you, God, for what you are doing in us and what you're going to do in this town. Lord, I pray for this prayer march. Lord, I pray for as we leave this place, that on Monday, Lord, lights will be shone, will be on lampstands everywhere, and that your light will be seen as we go. In Jesus' name, that.